is with a wink and a nod. You meet a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Go, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. I just saved a dollar. Hey, what's a liberal to do? Liberals, if they weren't so dangerous, they would be a never-ending source of entertainment. What's a liberal to do? In Alhambra, California, a teacher taped a sixth grader's mouth shut and bound his hands because he was talking too much in class. All right. Now, this was at Ramona Elementary School last week. Teacher Barbara Zur. Sounds like somebody off a Superman movie. Zur. Yes, Zur. Barbara Zur, teacher Zur. Ms. Zur, you don't say Mrs. anymore. It's against the law. Ms. Zur wrapped the kid in masking tape in front of the entire class, according to other students. And then, well, then once it became public, Ms. Zur apologized the next day, explaining that it was only a joke. All right. So the school district is investigating. But what's a liberal to do? What is a liberal to do? I remember on the show, we ask liberals occasionally when they're against discipline, really. They believe that you should only be able to cajole a child or to try to convince or persuade a child. You shouldn't have any absolute control over a child's will, for example, by spanking, or that type of corporal punishment. So I asked the liberal, somebody called into the show and they were against spanking. And so I gave him a scenario that somebody once had given me, a real life scenario of one of their kids. I think it was a 12 or 13 year old brat. And the mother would say, it's time to go to bed. And he'd say, no, I'm not going to bed. Really, just ignore her. And then when she made enough commotion, he'd say, I'm not going to bed. And she would try to, how does she get him in bed? She'd try to physically get him and drag him into his room, and he'd come out of his room. Now, what is she going to do? So then she would put him in the room, shut the door, and he would open the window and go out the window. So what is she going to do? She's going to tell him he can't watch TV? He's not going to listen to that either. So, of course, we have families like this where kids are utterly miserable. We have mostly single mother families where it's a complete breakdown, but also, of course, intact families. Many of those are dysfunctional also. But what's a public school teacher to do? What are they going to do? They practically can never expel the kids. And if you put a kid on suspension, if you tell him he can't come to school for a day or two, I've never understood that, even when I was a kid. I never understood how suspension was supposed to be a punishment. That was beyond me. Any of the kids in the schools I went to, if they got suspended, they were thrilled. And other kids were envious. So here we have Ms. Zur. Ms. Zur in Alhambra, California, who taped a sixth grader's mouth shut and bound his hands because he was talking too much. You know, that's an Associated Press story. We're not making this up. It was published in the Sacramento Bee. we've done the stories on the show over the years where a teacher handcuffs kids underneath the stairwell. Some schools would install isolation chambers, padded cells that they'd put kids in public schools when the kids were disruptive. What's a liberal to do? Well, a friend of mine lives in a high-rise apartment in Denver, and he took his video camera because he's near a public school, and he put it on a tripod, and he thought he would capture an entire recess because of how funny the recess always was when he'd watch it from his apartment. And he played it for an entire, what would it be, 40 minutes? 40-minute lunch, recess, whatever it was. Kids get to play in the playground. And we played the entire 40 minutes uninterrupted on my TV show one night. And behind it, we did that, what was that music? Teacher, leave those kids alone. Brick in the wall. Pink Floyd, something like that. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control by these kids. Well, this is what happened in the playground. The kids are playing, and then apparently a couple of the kids start hitting each other, whatever. And so the teachers go to referee, and they tell the kids they have to sit with their backs against the wall on the floor. So they got to sit down, two kids, backs against the wall. So, okay, fine. About a half a minute later, there's another kid in trouble. He sits down, his back against the wall. A minute later, three more kids join him. Every 1 or 2 minutes, more kids were added to the wall. Another brick in the wall. By the end of the recess, almost all the kids were sitting down with their backs against the wall being punished. Almost the entire, all the grades that were out there. It was just hysterical. It was really funny. So what's a liberal to do? Now, hey, 1 month from now, we're going to begin building underground silos in Alaska. I can't wait. June 14th, a month from yesterday, for our nuclear defense system. Now, we haven't built underground silos in a long time, have we? No, we haven't. And I'm thrilled that we're going to start building them again. By the way, our number, 1-800-8-NYARDS. 1-800-836-9278. And these silos, they won't be for ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. They will be for anti-missile, an anti-missile defense system, Star Wars sort of system, an anti-ballistic missile system where we will shoot a missile at an incoming missile to knock it down. Now, we're going to start doing that in a month in Alaska because we pulled out of the ABM treaty. But I want to ask you a question. Why are liberals against shooting down incoming nuclear weapons? Why is that?
Can a Christian...
All right, stop that tape. Stop that commercial for a live commercial from right here on Bob and Yurt Live. I host the show, Bob and Yurt Live, call-in talk show, 1-800-8-NYURT. But I also pastor a church, Denver Bible Church. For those who live in the Denver area, of course, we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings. For Sunday school, we have great debates, fun time. And Sunday night, where I get to present a Bible study for an hour or so. And we realize that most of the people who enjoy this program over the internet at kgov.com or around the country on radio stations, they can't come to Denver. Of course, quite a few of you guys visit when you can, maybe on vacation. But you can join us for the sermons or the Bible study classes, not the Sunday school, sorry, because we record them. We record the Sunday night Bible studies, as we've been doing for some time. And you could call us at 1-800, Well, that's the colon line, 1-800-8-NYAR. But the order line is 1-888-8-NYAR. And you can order one of these audio tape albums that we've produced over the years, or you could sign up for our monthly Bible studies. Now, you can call during the day, but we don't always have the phones manned. Sometimes it takes us a few days to get back to you. But you could call during the show even, place an order, or after the show. I make an effort to stay in the studio for 10 minutes. We route the order line in here, and I like to try to be here to take two orders. So sign you up for a monthly Bible study where every month you get four tapes, four Bible study tapes delivered to you automatically. Give us a call. All right. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So liberals are against a missile defense shield to shoot down incoming nuclear missiles, right? Maybe chemical or biological, but normally the concern is incoming nuclear missiles, and they're against that. They have their reasons, but they're against it. But what if we gave such a liberal this scenario, as I have over the years? Mr. Liberal, I have a question for you. What if we did have a missile defense shield? And you found out that a nuclear missile was in transit targeting San Francisco. And in 5 minutes, it would detonate, let's say, a 20-megaton warhead, enough to vaporize over a million people. And we had a missile defense shield because the conservatives built it. Would you use it? Would you use the capability of the missile defense shield and shoot down that incoming nuke? Don't know. Okay. Let's try this again. Let's see if we can make it more simple. No, let's not. So liberals are against a missile defense shield. And in a month, we're going to start building underground missile silos to house these anti-ballistic missiles so that when a missile is coming in, we could shoot one out and hit it and knock it down. Now, that's rather difficult to do. It's real tough because these missiles, they don't have an explosive yield in them. They don't get close and blow up. They have to hit it. And that's real hard to do. It's similar to the difficulty of hitting a bullet with a bullet. That helps you understand the complexity, the difficulty. All right? So now, and it's more difficult because how fast does a bullet travel? I guess between a 22 or a high caliber rifle, you know, in the mile, a couple miles, a second, something like that, a few miles a second. I'm not sure exactly, but somewhere around there. How fast does a missile travel? It travels maybe 100 times faster than a bullet. Really flies, or a lot faster. And so you got a missile coming in, and you track it by radar, and then you have to launch a missile, and it's got to hit it. Wow, that's tough. But we can do it. We've been doing it. Liberals have said for many years, decades, it couldn't be done. And the Soviets, the communists, communist Chinese, the Soviet Union back when it, before it fell apart because it couldn't hardly feed itself, but they were so adamant that we not build anti-ballistic missiles. They were absolutely adamant and furious that we would research it. Now, the American liberals, they would bet against American ingenuity. And American liberals would say, we shouldn't do this because it's not possible to be, it can't be done. It's too difficult. Now, obviously, the communists, whose side they were taking, had more faith in America than do the Democrats. You don't get anywhere taking a stand against American know-how and capability. So the communists, they obviously believed we could do it. Whereas the Democrats, they would say you couldn't do it. But we've done it. We've been doing it. We've been in tests. And more times than not, we have an incoming missile and we hit it. And we shoot it down. That's pretty cool. So liberals are against a missile shield. And now we know, I mean, to have our enemies use planes against us, commercial airliners, to target our largest buildings, it's obviously not outside the pale. It's not outside of what is plausible for if someone could bribe, let's say for $20 million, bribe a breakaway Russian republic to get a nuclear missile launch. Here's $20 million, just launch the thing. And it gets launched by somebody, who knows who. It gets launched, and it's targeting San Francisco. Now, I know there's a lot of conservatives out there who say, well, let's see, San Francisco? Come on, you've made this really hard. Okay, let's say it wasn't targeting San Francisco. Let's say it was targeting your town. So liberals are against the idea of being able to defend ourselves by building a missile shield. And I think the reason is that conservatives don't always know the best approach. How do you get liberals to side with you on something like this? You know, the conservatives have tried to explain the danger of how many people would be killed instantly if a nuclear warhead did get through. And the liberals don't care. They just don't care. So they're against the missile defense shield, like the Democrats in particular, and all liberals generally, for the most part. So we've approached it wrong with them. What we've had to do is, instead of talking about people, don't talk about saving people. Liberals don't care about that. Talk about animals. Talk about trees. Tell them that few endangered species could survive a direct nuclear hit. They'll sign up. Tell them that a nuke exploding in Detroit would violate their clean air policy. Huh? Cockroaches would get killed even. Right. If you tell them that, they'll pay for the missile defense shield out of the EPA budget. They care more about saving spotted owls than the American family, so we just have to sell this right. We have to tell them that the shield will help keep the planet green. It could reduce global warming, fill the ozone hole, save trees. Hey, if cannabis can do all that, surely a missile defense shield can. All right. So, you know, and some people say, well, we could build a missile defense shield, but then one of our enemies might not shoot a missile at us. They might send a nuke here on a boat and bring it into Boston Harbor. All right, now we've made it difficult again. We're talking about Boston. Okay, no. So, yeah, they might do that. Of course, the world is filled with many threats, many risks. But a house in a floodplain still needs a smoke detector, doesn't it? If you build a house in a floodplain, do you say, well, we don't need smoke detectors because we're in a floodplain? Of course not. You don't run away from multiple threats. You deal with each of them as best you can. All right. And I'm a bit frustrated with our government for dealing with the ABM treaty as though we had to take it seriously, because we had to wait 6 months after giving notice of pulling out before we could start any type of deployment. And so the 6 months are up. June 14th, we're going to start digging out these underground silos. And that's great. But the ABM treaty was entered into between America and the Soviet Union. We were the signers of that treaty. America and the Soviet Union. Now, think about this. If Greece had signed a treaty with the Roman Empire, would it still be valid? My program engineer said no. If Greece had signed a treaty with the Roman Empire, would it still be with Caesar? Let's say with Caesar. Which Caesar? Doesn't matter. Caesar Augustus. No, it wouldn't still be valid because the Roman Empire is no longer in existence. It does not exist. We entered into a treaty with the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union fell apart. It no longer existed. The treaty did not say that it was binding on the parties and their heirs. It didn't say that. It was binding on the parties and their assignees, their transferee. It didn't say anything like that. We signed a treaty with the Soviet Union, which was a terrible treaty. And because we could have busted them even many years earlier, they would have gone broke many years earlier if they had to deal with our ability to build anti-ballistic missiles. So anyway, at least now we pulled out of the treaty and we're starting to build. So that's good. Why is there even this debate in our country? I understand why our enemies didn't want us to do this, but liberals do not value what America has traditionally valued. They don't. They often side with our enemies, the Chinese communists, the old Soviet Union, Cuba, the Vietnamese communists. They repeatedly prefer to take their side against America. Now, why is that? Well, I think there's a degree of self-hatred in there. Self-hatred. Who criticizes America more than we do here on Bob and Yurt Live? We say on this show that Israel is the most evil country in the world except for America. America's the worst. We export more wickedness. Our families are destroyed at a higher rate. The immorality and the abortion and the sexual perversion that we promote and that we use to destroy ourselves, it's just mind-boggling. So, yeah, liberals seem to have a self-hatred, where on this show, Bob and Yurt Live at Denver Bible Church, we don't hide from the failure of our country, but we love our country. That's the difference. We love our country just like you love your family, but you admit its failures so that you have a chance of fixing them. So the liberals, they prefer what they call MAD, mutually assured destruction. Conservatives want to move away from MAD to defense, to be able to defend ourselves. But MAD appeals to the spirituality of liberalism because they're annihilistic. You know, Judeo-Christianity, we look to eternal paradise. Liberals say when you're dead, you're dead. And the earth would be better off without people anyway. So they're comfortable with mutually assured destruction. And that disqualifies them from having their opinions taken seriously. We laugh at liberals, and when appropriate, we mock them. Just as in the Bible, the godly people mock the wicked on occasion, because that's the best approach sometimes. Not always, but it's a valid tool of evangelism. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARTS. I want to say goodbye to Denver. Denver catches the first half of this show each night. But those in Denver, you can join us Sunday at Denver Bible Church. Look us up on the web. Hey, Bob Enyard here with a live commercial break, and I want to tell you about a kit we have called To Train Up a Child. It's to Train Up a Child, the kit. You could get the book to Train Up a Child, which is a best-selling book. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies, and it's written by Michael and Debbie Pearl. It's a great book by a homeschool family on how to train your kids. And boy, does it work. It doesn't deal, you know, right off the bat with spanking, because it starts out with toddlers, or what's younger than a toddler? Infants. And what's higher than an infant and younger than a toddler? Dominic. No, I don't know. It starts off teaching parents, how do you train an infant? Is it possible? Yes, it is. Infants are smarter than dogs, and you could train a dog. Infants are smarter than horses. You could train a horse. A lot of animals you can train. You can't train all animals. Most animals are dumber than other animals. But you could train some of them. And infants are incredibly smart. And you could train them. And then as they grow into toddlers, you could train them. So that the fear that, well, they might run out into the street and get killed. Or they might try to climb up somebody's bookcase and have the bookcase fall on them and get killed. Or TVs that are on these wobbly TV trays or TV carts. Or these cheap entertainment centers that a kid climbs up the front of it and it falls over on them. I mean, that's happened all too often. So what do you do? Well, liberals will say what you do is you bolt your bookcase to the wall. All right, you bolt your bookcase to the wall. That sounds fine for when your kid is in your home, but how about if he goes into any of a million other homes? Or in our country, we have 100 million households, and who knows whose home you might bring him into, or business for that matter. And you can't go everywhere with a drill and bolts and tools. You can't do that when you stop over somebody's house. So you got to train them up. So call us for the book and the audio tape that I've done, and you'll like it. 1-888-8-N-YARD. All right, we're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YARD. 1-800-836-9278. There are no threats, right? Oh, yeah, there are no threats. You know, when missile defense was an issue before September 11th, in fact, I had an invitation that was rescinded because of breaking news to get on one of the major cable news talk shows to discuss missile defense, of all things. And too bad, it would have been fun, but that was before September 11th. And we conservatives were saying that we have a lot of enemies around the world and that you cannot predict the future, but you can assess the present and the past, and we have a lot of enemies. The communist Chinese, they held our flight crew. Remember that? They held them hostage not long ago. The Washington Times reported in 2001 that the Russian and Chinese had a joint military exercise in which they simulated firing nuclear weapons on U.S. forces and on NATO forces in Europe. Russia and China did that in 2001. It doesn't mean they're going to do that, but it means that they're thinking in those terms. There's a Chinese general. His name is Zhang. Reminds me of Ms. Zer. Ms. Zer and Zhang should get together. The Chinese general Zhang, X-I-O-N-G, he threatened a nuclear strike on Los Angeles. If, what would we have to do to merit a Chinese nuclear warhead exploding in Los Angeles? Well, once again, for conservatives, that gives us a bit of a dilemma, but what would we have to do to deserve that? well, if we defend the freedom of Taiwan, then this Chinese general has said that they would launch a nuclear strike on Los Angeles. And by the way, just coincidentally, he's the same guy who funneled illegal contributions to Clinton's reelection. Just coincidentally. Oh, yeah. And just coincidentally, it's the Clinton administration that allowed either the Chinese to steal our nuclear secrets or to buy them. Just coincidentally. Oh, yeah, in China, and not too many years ago, what, 5 years ago, they shot a missile over Taiwan. That's rather threatening. Now, for the public school teachers listening out there, Taiwan is the large island off mainland China. And the Taiwanese are Chinese also, but the difference is that they are not under, they're not slaves to a communist totalitarian regime. They have relative freedom compared to the billion Chinese who live under the communists, which isn't it funny that the liberals don't really get angry about communism. They didn't care that the Soviet Union slaughtered, what, about 20 million people and all the millions slaughtered by the Chinese. They don't care that they deny their people freedom of speech and freedom of religion, freedom of travel. They don't care about that. They sort of like those governments. Why do liberals like these governments? Why? Think of how they refer to David Duke. You know, that idiot, racist David Duke. They have this, and it seems to me that liberals, many of them are racist anyway, but they have this visceral hatred against David Duke, and who did he ever kill? But they're mostly apologists for the communist Chinese and the old Soviet Union. Why is that? It's just a crack up. So, all right. You know, we defend ourselves well when it comes to the threat that we could bring against a nation for attacking us with nuclear weapons. For example, we've got what, the Trident nuclear submarines? And a single Trident carries as much destructive power as, what if we compare it to World War II? Think of how many bombs were dropped in World War II and all the guns that were fired and all the hand grenades and the RPGs. Did they use RPGs in World War II? Or is that a Cambodian Vietnam era rocket-propelled grenades? I think they came later. Howitzers, mortars. One Trident nuclear submarine carries half as much power as all the explosive energy unleashed in World War II. Half of the whole war. Must have been hundreds of thousands of bombs, millions of explosions. But you know what? That was an underestimate. I said half just so that your eyes wouldn't glaze over, to try to get you to think through this. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. One Trident nuclear submarine carries as much destructive power as all of World War II. Actually, that's not true. One Trident nuclear submarine carries as much destructive power as two World War IIs. That's not true either. I'm underestimating, just to blow your mind. One Trident nuclear submarine carries as much destructive power as five World War IIs combined. That's not true either. I'm just trying to blow your mind. One Trident nuclear sub, and by the way, our oldest son, my stepson, Cheryl's oldest, who's 20 years old, he's on a nuclear submarine right now doing sonar. One Trident nuclear sub carries as much destructive power as 10 World War IIs. 10. It's not true. 20. It's not true. 25 World War IIs. Let's go to the phones in Alabama. Lynn, speak your mind.
Bob.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Fine. God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bob, I just wanted to talk to you about keeping myself under control. You know, whenever I hear about our government, things like taxes and cloning and selling our secrets to China, yeah. You know, it's enough to make a Christian go postal. Of course I would never do anything.
Right, right.
You know, I wouldn't ever act on that violently. But it drives me crazy sometimes. Yeah. I just have to not think about it.
Right, Lynn, and it's not conservative Christians that go postal. It's government workers.
Right.
It's government workers that go postal.
Liberal government workers.
That's why we don't call it going Christian.
Right.
We call it going postal. In fact, you know, it's sort of weird that you use that term, because tomorrow in our studio right here, although he's not going to be on the air, will be a U.S. Postal Inspector.
Wow.
Who's been a big supporter of the show for a long time from out of state, and he's going to be here, him and his wife, to visit, and it'll be fun to have them over. But anyway, so how do we deal with the frustration?
Yeah.
Of our government driving us insane?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if you heard the show last night when we talked about George W. Bush and the things he said about God recently.
Right.
Did you hear that?
I did. He's just taking the Lord's name in vain.
Well.
And then using this generic the God or a God type.
You know, could I repeat these to you?
Sure.
And I want to, obviously I know your response, but it was rather frustrating to I started collecting quotes from him just recently. And this year, quotes this year, from the New York Times. He says that a homeless man who graduated from a community program was more than willing to give praise to Ann Almighty. Ann Almighty?
Right.
What's this Ann stuff? And he said that in another context, he was talking to religious leaders at the White House, and he said that the government cannot put hope in people's hearts, but religion can. And he said, I'm not talking about a particular religion. I'm talking about all religions.
Right.
That's a verbatim quote. And how could he possibly say that? If he's a Christian, doesn't he know that all other religions send people to hell? And they extinguish any glimmer of hope that may have been in a human heart? Why would he, at least if he feels constrained by politics, at least keep your mouth shut?
Right.
Why go overboard and join the enemy and give a false assurance to people who are dabbling in other religions?
It's like that saying that religion is the opiate of the masses. You know, he's
right.
Just saying that, basically.
Right. Yeah, right. Keep the people religious, and I won't have to worry about them.
Right. Even Lieberman gave God, you know, Yahweh, more respect than George Bush does.
Wow. Well, hold on. We'll be right back.
Hello. My name is...
All right. Stop the tape. That's a pre-recorded commercial, and we've been doing live spots. To let you know that after the show, for 10 minutes, I try each night to stay in the studio to take calls on our order line or on the call-in line, since we're in the studio, 1-800-8-NYART or 1-888. The order line is 888-1-888-8-NYART. And people could call in and sign up for our audio tapes that we mail out to families all over the country for Bible study tapes each month, and you start out, unless you have would like to do it differently, we start people out with an overview of the whole Bible. An overview of the Bible, then we dig into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we get to the book of Galatians and Timothy. You know, Timothy's Paul on wine, women, and such topics. In Galatians, why does Paul blast Peter? I mean, Paul just blasts Peter. Why does he do that? He calls him a hypocrite. He says he's not being truthful about the gospel. Pretty harsh stuff for one apostle to say about another. Why does that happen? We talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and its legacy and how it affects you and your church. And boy, you better believe it does in a big, big, big way. That's why the Bible begins and ends with the story of these trees. You know, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life is in Genesis 2 and Revelation 22. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where did it go? What happened to it? Well, find out. Call us, 1-888-8-NYART.
78.
Going back to the phones here, and we're going to return to Alabama and then get to Indiana. So back with Lynn in Alabama. Hey, Lynn?
Yes, Bob.
Okay, so let's just wrap this up with George W. Bush. He said that this was right around February 1st. He said we ought to welcome faith into our welfare system. Now, there's a reason that conservative Christians are against welfare. Because God said, thou shalt not steal. And God commanded through the New Testament that anyone who will not work shall not eat. And if welfare is a sin, which it is, it doesn't clean it up any to get the churches to start sinning. It's like seducing the churches into the filth of the government. Not that a government has to be filthy, but when it violates thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not commit perjury, the four foundations of a criminal justice system that God put in the Ten Commandments, and our government openly violates all of them.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You know what I really hate?
What?
I really hate when I hear over and over and over again that the average taxpayer works till May for the government.
Yeah.
Speaking of not stealing, I mean, it's so discouraging.
Not stealing, and let me discourage you further.
You're not really helping me out here, Bob.
I'm going to discourage you further, Lynn. It's not May. That's it, maybe, if you look at the federal government.
Right.
Look at the state and local. And the easiest way to do that is you look at what the government spends. At all levels, federal, state, county, and local governments. And they spend about, unless it's changed in the last few years, they spend about half of the GNP. Mm. For the public school teachers who are listening right now, let me explain the GNP to you. That's the high school graduating class this year, the gross national product. So anyway, they spend half, Lynn. It takes till July 1st when you have a husband?
Absolutely.
You must. You care about taxes. You got a head on your shoulders. Not that single women can't do those things, but in America, odds are against it. That the government takes half of what your husband earns, so that means your husband has to work twice as hard, twice as many hours to provide for your family as he does. Would you like to have him home a bit more than he's home?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to have him working around the home and taking care of the kids a bit to help you out?
Hey, look, I'd settle for mowing the yard, buddy.
That's right. And, you know, liberals are so stupid. They don't comprehend that the higher taxes go, the more government spends, the more husbands have to be away from their kids. And the more moms, women, wives are forced to go to work when they don't want to go to work. And the more economic stress there is in families. And how many divorces come about because of underlying stress and unhappiness? Or how many heart attacks? You know, what's the number one killer of men in America?
Heart attacks.
Or taxes.
Right.
You put it either way. Because heart attacks, you know, stress is what gets to us.
But financial problems are one of the leading
causes of stress.
And divorce.
And divorce, right. It's right up there. And stress, you know, if your body deals with stress the same, whether it's physical or emotional stress. Like if you take somebody and break a hole in ice and throw them into ice water, like the polar bear club.
Right.
You throw them into ice water, their body almost goes into shock with that stress. And that's, your body reacts in the same way to emotional stress, how your muscles tense up, and pretty soon you can't hardly move your neck because your shoulders and your neck has been tense for the last 8 months.
And I'm tense right now just hearing about all these taxes in July.
Yeah, that's right. Get your husband to rub your shoulders
right.
tonight, and then you do his too.
So you're not telling me any key solutions to...
No.
Okay.
Just be angry.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank
God
you,
bless.
Lynn. Appreciate that. Let's go to Indiana. 1-800-8-NER. Jerry, speak your mind.
Bob, greetings.
Hello, Jerry.
Looks like you're having a good time out there.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't sound too stressful.
Nah, it's not.
Except when you start talking about all these stories. But
we're doing it right.
Hey, I wanted to follow up on your story about the liberals and how to get them to support the missile defense system.
Yeah.
You know, by telling them the spotted owl can't survive a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, right. Then maybe they'll support it.
Right.
Don't mention humans, just the animals and trees and bugs.
Well, I discovered today, if you've ever played basketball, you know they're made out of leather.
The basketballs.
Well,
the good ones are.
Right, all the good ones are.
Yeah.
Well, the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Next year, they have got a new story here. They have banned.
No, don't
leather
say it.
Basketball.
Don't say it.
And use.
Don't, Jerry. This is too painful. Go ahead. What?
They're going to the ones made out of synthetic materials.
No.
Because the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
No.
Asked the NCAA in November to scrap the leather balls. Because of animal cruelty.
They're just idiots.
I wish I were kidding about that.
Now, this is the NCAA?
Right.
Now, what does that stand for? NCAA, the College Athletic Association?
It's supposed to be the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
Yeah.
But.
So the now, how about the NBA?
Well, that one. There's got to be a better monkier than what they're called for. They haven't gone to the synthetic yet.
Yeah.
But they might have to.
Mm.
What I want to know is, are they going to be able to use leather shoes?
Mm. Yeah, right.
I mean, that is that next?
Hey, Jerry, now, they care a lot about animals, right? But the leaders of PETA, they're pretty much pro-abortion.
I remember your Eagle Eggs show.
As the leaders of most animal rights groups are pro-abortion. So they care about the basketballs in the NBA. But let me ask you a question, Jerry. Now, if we compare hockey, which how are the Avs doing, the Colorado Avalanche? Tonight's an important game for them to be in or out of the playoffs for the Stanley Cup. But if we compare ice hockey, the NHL, with the NBA, demographically, what's the biggest thing you notice, the biggest difference? Jerry?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about it.
You haven't thought about it?
You caught me off guard.
Demographically?
Hmm.
Well, how about the percent of blacks who play basketball professionally versus hockey?
Right.
Huge percent of blacks are in the make up the NBA.
Right.
As compared to not in hockey. Okay. I think there are three in the entire NHL, three blacks. Now, why... Are there any Caucasians left? Why are there any white people left in the NBA? That's a question I have for you, Jerry.
Why are there?
Why are there
well,
any
Some of
left?
Them are pretty tall.
Well, they're tall guys.
But they've probably been playing with leather basketballs for years out in their in their front yards and shooting. But.
Let me tell you why. Because of Planned Parenthood. Because...
I know what you mean by that.
Millions of blacks have been aborted by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is the number one abortion provider in the country. Millions of blacks get aborted in numbers proportionately far beyond whites, and a huge percentage of the black population has been decimated by Planned Parenthood. So there are millions of fewer young blacks in this country, age 30 years and younger. millions of fewer. And if there were that many more blacks in America, chances are there'd be that many more good black basketball players, and it'd be all the more difficult for whites to get accepted onto a team because they tend to not be as good. So, so the point is that liberals care more about the basketball than they do about the millions of black babies who are slaughtered in Planned Parenthood abortuaries located in inner cities all over this country. Gets me angry, Jerry.
I understand. And your friend Jesse Lee Peterson has a great article on abortion, the black genocide, he calls it,
on his
website.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, he's got a fantastic article on that and shows statistics, of course, him being in the inner city. He knows a lot about that. So.
Yeah, Jesse Lee Peterson from L.A., and he invited me out there, a couple years ago to speak at his annual event. And what is his website?
Bondinfo.org.
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 Yeah, so the black genocide that is abortion in America. You know, the president of Planned Parenthood, the founder and president for a couple decades, Margaret Sanger, she had a program that she called, from her own writings, we know, the Negro Project, where the goal was that if they went directly to blacks and tried to get them to sterilize themselves and take birth control to reduce the number of blacks, they wouldn't be able to pull it off because there would be suspicion of racism. So she wrote to an associate of hers, but if we go to the black ministers and get them to enlist, then we'll be able to control that population. And she was a racist, of course, and she liked the Nazis and their eugenics program. And in fact, she hired Dr. Ernest Rudent, a Nazi genetic scientist, to write letters for her birth control review. So, yeah, thank you, Jerry.
No problem, Bob.
I appreciate it.
Keep up the good work.
Appreciate the basketball update.
Okay.
All right. Now, the basketball season is what? It's over. And the hockey season is in the playoffs. But the PETA, the People for the Eating of Tasty Animals, what is it called? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they care more about the basketball that's used on the court than the fact that millions of blacks have been aborted in this country. Millions of them. Millions. And far out of proportion to the white population. Yeah, because blacks are in more economic distress than are whites proportionately per capita. And therefore, abortion as a way out is even more appealing to blacks than to whites. And so black kids get killed wholesale. What a tragedy. So we have a pretty broken government. And at the head of it, we have our president who says, well, as long as there's a God out there, as long as you give thanks to an Almighty. I've never heard anyone in the history of the world, in all my reading in history and religion, even talking to wackos on the street, I've never heard an Almighty. Pray to an Almighty. It's contradictory because Almighty means Almighty. There's only one Almighty. There's only the Almighty, as you read in the Bible, not an Almighty. And when he says you need to look to religion for hope, and he said, I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about all religions. Oh, it's Bob in here to remind you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right, do right.